In this fourth section, we're going to look at the Gospel. It's John 1:29-34. I'm going to read the whole text and then start to comment on it. You know, Thomas More once said, "The scriptures are amazing. A mouse can wade in them and an elephant can swim in them. They're so deep, and yet anybody can understand the basics." And then, as our own union with God grows, we understand much more of what this text is really saying. Because, you see, the scriptures are not just words. Like all words, they bring the reality to us. And in this case, that reality can only be brought to us by the Holy Spirit. And when that reality starts to dwell in our spirit, these texts take on a life. We may not be elephants swimming yet, but we're no longer mice just waiting. And so the text goes in the NAB, "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, a man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel.' John testified further, saying, 'I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from the sky and remain upon him.' I did not know him," second time he said this, "but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain,'" not only come down, remain, "'he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God.'" Now, there are so many descriptions of Jesus. First, I want to mention this next day, Ti Iparion. This is the second of these days. This part of John's Gospel is divided by the next day, the next day, the next day. And then finally it says, you see, on the last day there, in Cana, which is chapter 2, actually. This, and many scholars, I'm sure, are agreed that I'm looking to just check something out before I go on. Say, it says, "On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana." Now, this theme of third day is dense in Exodus 19. "On the third day I will come. On the third day I will speak to you. On the third day I will give you my law." So, you see, on the next day, the next day, the next day, the third day, it doesn't compute exactly, but it's reflecting Jewish liturgical practice to be getting ready for the Feast of Pentecost, the giving of the law, by a series of days of preparation. And John puts them in here so that we understand that on this third day there was a wedding feast in Cana. This is the third day when I give my law. If we had lots of time, I could read some of the Jewish texts, but it's not going to affect much of your preaching anyway, I don't think. So, okay, Lamb of God, the titles that he's given. Lamb of God, he ranks ahead of him, upon whom the Spirit rests, baptizes in the Holy Spirit, and the Son or elect of God. It's amazing. All in this paragraph. All right, most people point out the Lamb It's the Paschal Lamb. This is the Lamb, and it says in the Psalm, whose bones are not broken. This is the Lamb who is referred to, alluded to in Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. Though he was harshly treated, he submitted and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, or a sheep before the shearers, he was silent and opened not his mouth. The theme of silent is what we see in the trial before Pilate. He's the Lamb. Now what does he do? You see, he bears away the sin of the world. And what is the sin of the world? Rebellion, disobedience, lack of love, lack of trust. That's the armatia. That's the sin of the world. It's pride. It's again Genesis. You will do what you want, and you will say whether it's good or evil. You see? That's the armatia. That's the sin of the world. And this whole conglomerate of actions that are sinful, they fall under that. And he is going to bear away this sin. Most every morning when I hold up the host and I say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And I'm holding him in my hands. The one who bore away all the sins of the world. He is the Lamb. Okay? Now John says, remember I said there's a man coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. There you have the status of Jesus. He ranks ahead of John because he existed before me. In the beginning was the Logos. And then, upon whom the Spirit rests. Resting, the Spirit coming is one thing, the Spirit resting is another. There are some Old Testament texts. But here, this is a prophetic description. The Spirit rests on him, moves him, inspires him, strengthens him. Praise from his heart. It isn't that Jesus didn't know what to pray for as we do. We don't know. But the Holy Spirit comes and puts the prayer of Jesus in our heart so that that prayer which he's always offering in heaven is once again present on earth. Just as the whole praise of the Lamb surrounded by everybody is brought back to earth by the Eucharist. And we are given again an historical, a bodily dimension. Okay. Upon whom the Spirit rests. He is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Now we've done part of this before. When John was saying this about I baptize, but he will baptize. Now, the word is tabal in Hebrew. Means to dip, to plunge. John is saying something profound. He's saying, listen, I am performing this ritual, but the one who comes after me will be the one who pours out the Spirit on you. And this is the eschatological moment. This is the foundation for Sunday. This is the eschatological moment. So I want to read some texts which form the background for the Baptist description of Jesus. You see? He's the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Because, and I'm going to read, I've only got four here, there are others. And there's allusions to this at Qumran, too. Then they shall know that I am the Lord, their God, because I sent them into exile among the nations, and then gathered them into their own land. I will leave none of them behind. And I will never again hide my face from them when I pour out my Spirit upon the house of Israel. You see what the Baptist was referring to? For the palace will be forsaken, the populous city deserted, the hill and the watchtower become dens forever, the joy of wild asses, a pasture for flocks until a spirit from on high is poured out on us. That's Isaiah 32. Another Isaiah text, for I will pour water on the thirsty ground and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. You hear God promising the eschatological moment, the definitive coming to bring salvation to the world. This is why John says, I'm baptizing you with water so that you can confess your sins and identify your vocation as Israel. The one who comes after me is introducing this whole act of God. Huh? And finally then, he is the Son of God. Now, there's a variant in the text, son and elect, but son is the one opted for by this lectionary, and most texts, Son of God. We saw him, you know, full of glory as of an only begotten Son. There's something unique about the Son. We're all sons of God, but not the way he is. See, full of grace and truth. In other words, the Logos became flesh. The Logos who was with God forever. The Logos through whom the Trinity created the world. You see? Well, that Logos is called God, Son, rather, I'm mixed up. You see, and we saw his glory as that of an only Son of God. From now on, in the Gospel of John, Jesus is called the Son of God. There's only one other allusion to Lamb of God. Jesus is the Son. Jesus is Isaac, the firstborn, sacrificed. Jesus is the Son. Jesus is Israel, the Son of God. As the Lord himself, the Father, says in Hosea 11, out of Egypt I called my Son. But this Son, this sonship, is summed up in Jesus, who pours it out. You see? That's why, you see, we have this text that the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts. Poured into our hearts. Crying, Abba, Father, giving us a share in the divine affection that Jesus has for the Father. Jesus was and is crazy about the Father. Wanted to do nothing but his will. And so, that's what it means that he's the Son of God. He's the child of God. And we are called to share in that with the joy and the privilege and the prayer. Abba.